We believe in performance in this administration. We believe in being businesslike. We believe in measurement. And we release our second performance report today. Its highlight is the saving of an additional $100 million plus. Not easy to save now over $250 million. You have to look in every corner. You have to watch every penny. But I want to commend the work of our new crew in having done that in a host of reforms and savings, large and small. Also, just to indicate that this is an everyday ongoing process, I want to commend Dave Donahue on his latest multi-million-dollar savings. It's an interesting one. It will involve energy management at our correction system and eventually throughout it. Promises to save a minimum of $7 million over the next few years and much more beyond. And while doing so, using renewable fuel, homegrown energy, Indiana energy, another important initiative. So, David, it's only the latest of a long string of multi-million dollar savings and reforms that you've brought about at DOC. We're proud of you, and thank you for this achievement. Well, it's a guarantee. There are investments made and then savings as energy is conserved and less expensive energy is generated. And the contract guarantees $7 million over the first 10 years. It could be much more. And if so, that'll all accrue to the state. But David has locked in a guarantee because the contractor and their subcontractors are confident enough that by being smarter about conserving energy and by installing new technology, that we can keep the prisons heated and electrified for much less than today.
I'm just trying to explain to my readers, of this $100 million, how much do we have now versus...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about in the overall?
Yeah.
Most of the savings, as you read through the book, will be recurring, and therefore, over the years, will amount to more than is enumerated here. Some of them are one-time, and those are designated as such. But for instance, when David contracted for prison food, and we stopped cooking it in 26 little kitchens of our own, he saved $12 million this year, and $12 million next year, and $12 million plus every year going forward. Again, I think the point and the reason that this report is as extensive as it is you cannot save now over $250 million unless you do everything you can think of, the big reforms and also the very small ones. Some almost make you smile because they only involve let's say, a few $1,000s. But our belief and our approach is... there's no savings too small to look for, and nothing that saves tax dollars is off the table.
Can you sum up generally? I mean, I'm looking here that you've gone from, you still have over 73% of things that need to be improved that aren't at the excellent level. Can you just generally sum up the overall report and where
I will. It marks remarkable progress, but you have to keep two things in mind. One, we started from a low base. Much of state government was dysfunctional. There was waste and inefficiency everywhere. Secondly, we set the bar very, very high. Our scorecard will always be, we want it to be hard to achieve. We're constantly challenging metrics to get the green that we don't think are enough of a stretch. And so I tell all the department heads, don't be red-faced about being red. Red is where we started, and red just means you have lots of upside for improvement. And don't be discouraged if We set the bar so high that green is hard to get to. It's the progress we're interested in, and measurement itself is so important. You tend to get what you measure, and if you don't keep score, as I always say, you're just practicing. And so the process of establishing measures and advertising them widely, trying to get every employee from the leadership to support level to understand them and try to do their part in bringing about measurement, that's what we're trying to instill in state government. And not in every department at the same rate, but across the board, I think we're doing very, very well at that.
Don't we get more red on this one than last time? Did that mean that some people backslid, or the measurement got harder, so even if they made improvement, it wasn't as much as the new measurement?
Yeah, in almost every case, it's the latter. In the last measure, the last report, we were just getting started. There were a lot of departments that hadn't even agreed on measurement yet, on metrics yet. So there are a lot of new metrics here, and there's still a few to fill in. But, yes, a lot of departments came on the scorecard really in the last 6 months of last year, and, again, most started in the red.
Who's doing the best and why?
Now, you're asking me to pick among – it's like asking a father to pick among his children. We identify a few the National Guard and PERF and the lottery, as I recall, all achieved – a significant improvement, and we'll let you draw your own conclusions from the facts as we report them.
Governor, how much of the savings is from layoffs, and how does state employment stand today compared to when you took office?
State employment is down about 3,000 since we took office. Now, layoffs would be a misleading word. We found employment for anybody who whose job was found either unnecessary or was consolidated. Perhaps we're down 7 departments out of a base of something like 150. So we've been reducing, in many cases, overhead and accordingly. We've consolidated things like information technology and human resources to handle them more centrally. But again, we've made, as far as I know, accommodations for each employee who wanted to stay in state government as opposed to retire or move on. But the total number is down about 3,000 on a base, as we arrived, of about 39,000.
And so have you calculated, of the savings with $250 million to date, how much is related to employment being down?
About $50 million on an annualized basis, I think, is the round number estimate.
Governor, we have a time change coming up.
We do.
And the western part of the state is in a debacle. There's people calling us, they have no clue what to do. Is there something you maybe would have done differently in getting the daylight savings time in place that would have, could have, maybe
I don't know. I don't think I would have given an evasive answer. People ask me, as a private citizen, would daylight saving time be good for Indiana? I said yes. We put it on the list of things to do. I don't think I would have broken the commitment or walked away from it. I just don't believe in that. I'm sure there were things we could have done better. I do believe it's in the state's interest. I think a majority of Hoosiers already agree with that, and it'll grow, I do believe, as we adjust. But I'm sorry for any confusion that any folks are experiencing. It's really not that complicated.
For the bars that get that extra hour, mm-hmm. Some people are saying that that's unfair, that you're giving that, although a lot of people do like that. So what do you say to the people who...
I'm now known as the barkeeper's friend around here. It just seemed common sense to me. As I understand it, in other states, some do what we've just said. Say, the point is to set the clock overnight sometime, so set it when you close. is not what a father wants to hear, but one of my daughters told me yesterday that she lost an hour while visiting a friend in Ohio last year, and she was very upset about it. So I guess it's in some states they treat it differently. But it seemed like a common sense thing, especially in this year of adjustment and in this year when we are, I'm glad to say, gaining a lot as a state because of the special visitors that we have here this particular weekend. So it just seemed like a sensible step.
What's your office heard about the ease or smoothness of the transition expected over the year?
Generally, that folks don't find it a complicated thing to change a clock. You know, we have the interesting situation, which took a little attention, that because we were different from everybody else, we had set a lot of computers differently than the way they arrived from the manufacturer. And so in state government, we had to go through and set them back on normal setting. As you know, most modern electronics assumes daylight saving time. You had to make a special case for the way we've treated it. But I know in state government, we believe it's been dealt with, and most employers I talk to think so, too.
Do you feel at all personally responsible for people who will lose an hour of sleep this weekend?
Oh, Patrick. Sympathetic.
I had some emails this morning about the letting the bar stay open, saying that why that the law says that the closing time is 3 a.m. prevailing time, and that how can you ignore a state law? What would you say to them?
I don't have anything to add to what I said before.
See. Mm-hmm. Back to Eastern time next year. How long do you expect this to continue shaking out, and does it continue the confusion that this supposedly is trying to eliminate?
Well, there'll be vastly less confusion. We have two time zones now, not three. And if you're on the same time as a given city, you always will be. It won't be half and half. And we'll have more Hoosiers as of Sunday on the same time year-round than we've had ever. So that's progress, but it's not perfect. And those counties that, any county that wants to change time zones in either direction, I'm going to support it. It's a matter in which local decision-making should and living patterns should come first, with the sole exception of where it might threaten to fracture a metropolitan area. But glad to support either preference.
How long do you expect it to take for this to stabilize at this time next year?
I would think. I mean, it's everything's set now in 99% of Indiana. We've got a couple of counties with a special problem, and we want to see it worked out.
Governor, you got booed last night at the Pacers game. Do you think daylight savings time is why do you account for that?
I don't know. It's pretty much a tradition. You know, Mayor Bart got sent in of tape and got booed in absentia. So, frankly, if we hadn't been honoring Reggie, I would have politely declined. But you know what you're getting into in a situation like that. Probably didn't help we were down 14 at the half either.
Commissioner, you just added by contract about 300 work release beds. And I know you want to encourage state-funded community corrections programs to add work release beds. Could you tell me a little bit about whether there's a shift in philosophy from diversion in community corrections to reentry?
Well, community corrections, predicated on the statutes in this state, obviously promotes diversion from capacity in the department. Our shift, though, in the department is about public safety and promoting reentry. This year alone, we're going to release over 16,000 people back to one of 92 counties in this state. I've got to have a transition in order for those folks to be law-abiding, engaging members of their community. And work release is a conduit. Obviously, with 16,000 offenders and adding 300 work release beds, I'm still well behind the eight ball in process, but we're making progress.
You don't have, with those 300 new beds, the geographic distribution that you wanted. You had six targeted geographic areas. You're only getting help primarily in Marion County and a couple of beds in Vandenberg County. How are you going to spread that out to those other targeted areas?
Well, we're going to continue to ask community corrections and communities to partner with us on recognizing the offenders that are coming home. It's about zip code management. We know where offenders are going to, and we have to promote a healthy environment in those communities by way of recognizing public safety concerns. So we'll go back to those communities continually recognizing those population discharges and an effort to do a better job.
And just one more question, and I apologize, Governor. Given limited dollars available for community corrections and given that residential programming is more expensive than non-residential, are we going to see a diminution, perhaps, of the money that's available for diversion?
Well, community corrections obviously is a pass-through from the department's perspective as it relates to the legislature's ability to fund that. Based on empirical evidence, as Governor Daniels has indicated, we are keeping score now. And we'd like to think that the outcomes are recognizable, and if they are, I'll go back to the General Assembly in a budget session and ask for additional funding for community corrections if it merits that. But I have to have the outcomes to support the funding streams.
Can I just actually thank you for the questions, Martin? Let me just make a point that's, I think, clearly made in the report, but I didn't mention it in my quick comments. I mean, the reforms and changes are not just about saving tax dollars. As often as that, they're about improving service and reducing waiting lists and backlogs. And many of the dollars are being plowed back into much better service in the future. For instance, there was no reentry program at the Department of Corrections. And we want folks coming out of there to go away and stay away. We want them to take up productive lives. And so that's one purpose to which the enormous savings, Dave, has generated over there have been put. And so it's very important to say, as we try to save a lot of money in the social services, we've got long waiting lists of disabled citizens and others that we want to reduce and start providing services to. The savings at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles are all going back into new computer systems and new branches and mail centers and in pursuit of better service. So you bet we're looking in every corner for tax dollar savings. And that's one reason we're balancing the budget ahead of schedule. But very, very often the changes that are occurring are then reinvested in programs like you ask about.
Governor, this book highlights a lot of the achievements.
Uh-huh.
Can you highlight a couple of the lowlights?
Well, sure. I mean, look at the red here, and you will see where we're the least satisfied, and there's nowhere where we're fully satisfied. We probably never will be. And there have been glitches, all right. There have been some at the Bureau lately, which I had a bad February after several months of good improvement. So if you talk to members of the Cabinet, I think you'll find that we constantly are working on the things we're not satisfied with. And this report, I think, reflects as many of those as the achievements.
But could you name a couple that come to the top of your mind?
Well, it is mentioned that BMV's February, where after several months of improved customer service and reduced waiting times, they had a little perfect storm over there, and the metrics didn't look very good. And I had a visit with the director about it. Now, the long-term trend is very positive, and as I say, the dollars that are being saved are being reinvested in things that the place has needed for a long, long time. I don't think I have to tell anybody the shape it has been in historically. But there's an example of a place where we slipped back a notch, and I talked with him about making sure that February is an aberration.
Another area where there's a lot of red is child services.
Uh-huh.
Have real trouble, it seems like, getting and keeping case managers. What's happening there?
Progress, but you do take sometimes two steps forward and one back. These are high-stress jobs. I've been swearing in most of the new case managers myself when I can, just trying to stress that this is as important as any work in state government, the protection of the lives of children. This is Prevent Child Abuse Month is just beginning. And I have enormous sympathy for the folks who do these jobs. They have among the most difficult assignments in state government. So, yes, we have suffered some attrition, even as we've been adding caseworkers on a net basis. Now, I have to say also that Jim Payne is working hard to make sure that the caseworkers that we found in place are really performing well. Not every separation has been voluntary, but I certainly understand when somebody, particularly in that line of public service, decides that they've like to try something different.
Are there areas that you're finding to be intractable?
Oh, we wouldn't. We don't ever accept that anything can't be done around here, and but we don't believe in great inflation either. So we want to, as I say, we will probably never be fully satisfied. And I keep telling folks like Dave, don't take a red grade or as discouragement. Take it as an opportunity for big improvement.
I guess in a way of repeating Mike's question, the BFV mentioned, but you've highlighted some things that have been working out there. Are there areas where at the moment the country is not seeing progress?
Yes, but I'll refer you to the book to pick your own favorite.
On the BMV, how do they get a green grade? I think there's probably some people in Gary who would disagree with that.
Yeah, well, they don't get a green grade. They got, as you see, a yellow grade in the left column. They did get a green for improvement because they have shown a significant improvement. Again, if you're coming off a very low base, it may take years before we're prepared to say a given activity is being done as well as it ought to be. And I think that fits that particular agency very well. I mean, it started with just a lot of problems. And a ton of good work has occurred, but we're not even close to where either I want that place to be or its leadership does.
The infamous rocking chair from the Madison State Hospital.
Yes.
You guys have set the bid at less than half of what you paid for it. I just wondered, I mean, you can argue whether they should have been bought in the first place, but isn't it just as wasteful to sell a never-before-used item for less than half of what we paid for it?
Not if it's sitting around idle.
Well, it could be used, though. I mean, you stopped it from being used.
Well, I think I didn't know the department was planning to put them up, but we are transferring all sorts of assets, 2,000 cars, 8 aircraft, pretty soon a lot of real estate. I'm going to take the value from it and try to put it into something a little more useful. And I think the department that's handling some of our most important and sensitive social services has a better use for whatever is realized from those chairs than folks rocking in a chair we can buy for $80 at Cracker Barrel.
What real estate?
Well, the project is ongoing right now. We haven't yet identified all the pieces, but we believe that the first thing you had to do is find out what the state owned, which it didn't know, like it didn't know a lot of things. Like it didn't know what the recidivism rate was, that is the returnee rate in the correction system. Didn't know how many of our meth prisoners escaped their addiction or didn't. So the beginning of reform is to find out what your situation is. And we think we have getting a handle on the inventory, and there's a lot of property that might be better off in local government hands. Maybe they could use it for economic development. Maybe there's a private purchaser who would like to put a business on it. So that'll be probably in future reports.
Are we talking about farmland, forest land, urban office buildings?
No, I think there's a lot of office space. There's warehouses. There's garages. And, again, we're not quite ready to, until we know what the surplus is, we're not ready to talk about how we turn it to some better purpose. All right, thank you.